Good morning, everyone. Right, the first reading today is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, which is the end of the chapter, and it can be found on page 1101 in our Bibles. 1101. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning to read at the first verse. You can find this on page 1083 in the Church Bibles. John chapter 15, verse 1, page 1083. "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your written word. May it be to us, Lord God, a living word. Speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What name first comes to mind when I ask you to name Jesus' disciples? If I was to say, name Jesus' disciples, what names comes up? John. Andrew. Judas. So from your answers, which is, I was correct, would Philip be a name that comes to the top of your mind? And it wasn't. And I put here, we have just read in the reading, so that could influence your thinking, but it didn't influence your thinking at all. Philip is a lesser known apostle compared to Peter, James, John, Andrew, Judas. But this is what we know about him. We know from John chapter 1, Philip was found by Jesus. Philip then went and found Nathanael and told him, come and see. Come and see Jesus. We've seen the one that the law of Moses speaks about. So excited he was, he went about sharing Jesus, even from that first encounter. Philip was the one that was tested by Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus asked him, how are we going to feed these people? Feed them, Jesus said. And then Philip was like, how can we feed all these people? Even 1 year's salary cannot feed all these people here. That's in John chapter 6. Philip was the one that was approached by the Greeks who wanted to meet Jesus in John chapter 12. Maybe because he was Greek as well and he knew them, so they came to him. Philip was the one who asked Jesus when Jesus was going, and Jesus spoke about going to the Father. And then Philip was the one that said, show us the Father. And then Jesus said to him, don't you know me? So we see in Philip a follower of Christ, excited about Jesus, but yet was able to express his doubts. But he was the one that was used to advance the early church. So I wonder if you can see yourself in him a bit. You get excited about Jesus, you're sharing Jesus, doubt comes, how are we going to be able to do this? You get excited about Jesus again, I want to share him, doubt comes, have I really seen Jesus? Is he really here? That is Philip, and maybe that is us. Before we look at our passage reading, let's look at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. The church was experiencing great persecution. Saul, who was to become Paul, was on a roll. The church was scattered. And Philip went to Samaria as part of the persecution. He went to Samaria, and there he preached Jesus Christ to the crowd. And he had a successful evangelistic outreach with signs followed with healing, deliverance, and there was so much joy. The city of Samaria was successfully evangelized by Philip. The people of Samaria were hearing Christ preach and seeing power in the name of Jesus. And it's possible to imagine the joy that Philip had. He was going to nations as Jesus commissioned. But then change takes place. In the middle of a successful, fruitful outreach in Samaria, he was directed by the angel of the Lord to go to a desolate desert, to go south. Why? Because of the importance of one. Philip didn't know why he had to go, but he trusted and he obeyed the instruction of God to him, go. And I wonder how our response would be. Maybe our first reaction, if it were Philip, would be, surely this can't be God. I'm doing a great work for him in Samaria. Many people are coming to know him. Maybe I need to put this thought into captivity. This cannot be a thought from God. Many people are coming to know him. How should I go south? This must be the devil. Why would God want me to stop witnesses and sharing his name in Samaria and go to the desert? But we have no record of that. Instead, Philip rose and went. Philip, as a follower of Christ, had submitted himself to the will and guidance of God to go where he wants him to go. He trusted God's divine way. Now we meet another important one in the desert. And what do we know about him? He is an Ethiopian, an African. His status as a eunuch could be a title as a royal trusted servant in the court official. Or we know that he was a eunuch, so maybe he's been emasculated as well. So we don't know whether he's being a eunuch was due to him being emasculated or him being a trusted servant. We're not sure about that. What we do know, he was an important court official. So we can liken this Ethiopian eunuch as the treasury secretary of the queen. Such was his importance. He was a Gentile, a worshiper of Israel's God, but who had not been fully converted. And we know that as a eunuch, he would have been barred from entering the inner court at the temple. So he left, he went to worship there, and is on his way back home. Worship may have been over in the temple, but there he was, reading in a chariot, galloping along the desert road, wanting to know more. The encounter between eunuch and Philip is orchestrated by the Spirit of God, because the value and salvation of one is just as important to God as the crowd that Philip left in Samaria. The importance of one. The eunuch had an inquiring mind and heart. Whatever was said at the temple did not satisfy his hunger. He wanted more. And there are many with inquiring hearts and minds around here that are seeking the truth for life. The question for you and I is, are we willing to go? Are we willing to start that conversation? Do you understand what you're reading? That we may hear, how can I, unless somebody guides me? For those yet to fully follow Jesus, maybe they're looking in and seeing that it is good and have questions. They're to ask those questions, maybe, what is that preacher? What did they mean when they said that? That passage we'd read in the Bible, what was that all about? What does it mean? The inquiring mind, can I say, the inquiring mind will never be rejected. The inquiring mind will never be regarded as foolish, and the regarding mind will never be ridiculed in the house of the Lord because of the importance of one. Philip, with such grace and humility, started with scriptures, met the eunuch where he was at, and he proclaimed the good news about Jesus in the book of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And he mentioned that this is who it was talking about, Jesus. Because we know that the whole Bible points to Jesus in one way or another. And as one commentator said, a more appropriate passage could not have been chosen as a witness of Christ, attesting to the Holy Spirit's leading. The Ethiopian eunuch was searching the Old Testament for answers for his spiritual life. I wonder, where do we go for answers? And if Bible reading is part of our spiritual discipline, and like the eunuch, We recognize the need for someone to explain what is being read. Here at Midgate, there are several home groups to join for faith to be deepened, which is part of our mission statement, to be part of a group. And why is this? Because of the importance of one. The carriage Bible study in the chariot is over. The next step for the eunuch to cement his newfound understanding of Jesus as Lord was initiated by him, that he be baptized. Here is water. Why can I not be baptized? I'm going to read this passage from the First Nation version of the New Testament that I was introduced to just last week. Verse 36 says, "Look," the man said, "there is much water here. Why should I not participate in the purification ceremony?" Verse 37, which is not in most Bibles, but is there. It's in the old Bibles. So it was in the original Greek translation. Verse 37 says this: "If from your heart you truly believe, lover of horses," which is Philip, answered, "you may." The man, the eunuch, then says, "I believe that Creator sets free." Creator sets free is Jesus. "I believe that Creator sets free, Jesus, is the Son of the Great Spirit," the man replied. The man had come through understanding of the scriptures that Philip explained to him, that Jesus was Lord. He came to understand the life, the death, the resurrection of what Jesus did, that Jesus indeed is the one that sets free. Immediately, the purification ceremony, the baptism, is over. Philip is snatched away by the Spirit of God, and the eunuch goes away rejoicing. Philip has fulfilled his purpose to the one. Nothing else needed to be done. No card needs to be exchanged. No pleasantries needs to be done. Philip had obeyed the Great Commission. He has done the greatest thing, which was to introduce one to Jesus Christ. And by his obedience, Philip came to convert the first African to Jesus Christ. And it is said that the Coptic Christians today, who are persecuted in Egypt, they trace their heritage back to this Ethiopian eunuch. Whether it is a crowd that Philip had in Samaria or to one, Philip's message remained the same: Jesus Christ is Lord. The importance of one is what Philip saw and heard from Jesus. The parable of the 99. Jesus left the 99 and went looking for one. Jesus made his way to Samaria to speak to one woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus sailed across the sea to the country of Gerasenes to set one demoniac free. Jesus has and will always place value on one. There was one Good Friday many years ago. I think it was 2012, I think, Good Friday. I was in Grace, and Good Friday, after we've done the morning witness walk, I came home, and I was like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? I want to meet somebody and tell them about you today. What a great day for me to be able to speak Jesus to somebody and they come to the Lord on Good Friday. What a great day. So I felt the Lord said, okay, put your jacket on, put your shoes on, get your Bible and go out. Sunday, Good Friday day. I remember that day. And I grazed, and I'm in Grace where I came from, where I lived. And I walked, it's Good Friday. So you know Good Friday, back then, Grays wasn't as busy as it is now. So I was walking the street of London Road in Grays, and I'm looking, scouting every corner street. Am I going to meet anyone? Am I going to meet? There's nobody here. And I thought, Lord, just keep going. Just keep walking. And I'm walking down. I'm nearly at the other end of the station. Then I saw a young girl walking down. And it was like, she's the only person I met on the street that day. That's the one. Go to her. And I went to her. Started speaking to her, telling her about Jesus, telling her about Good Friday, telling her all everything that he has done. And I was like, so, what do you want to do? And we started talking. She goes, oh, wow, I don't really know about church. And I shared this. Philip went to an African. I went to a white person on the street on that day. And so we started talking. She was 18, 19, yeah. And I said, do you want to come to church with me tomorrow? And I'm going to a Pentecostal church at this time. So we exchanged numbers. She's 18. And my church at that time for Grace was in Romford, so I had to drive. And was she 19? No. Was she 19 or 20? One of those ages, anyway. It was legal for me to take her. So I said, we exchanged numbers. And I said, okay, come outside my road, London Road, and I will take you to church. That is how this girl started coming to church with me week after week. She'd never been to church before, started coming. We started doing Bible studies at church. She was coming. She was with us for about a year and a half, I think. Then she left, and I said, she stopped coming. I stopped picking her up, and I said, that's fine, you know. Then I called her, I said, okay, you're not coming to church anymore. Where are you going to? Are you still going to church? I don't want you to be sitting at home. Are you going to church? She goes, yes. I said, what church are you going to? I'm going to the Anglican church, not far from us. So it's walking distance from her house. I said, perfect. Carried on. So I'll check in on her every once in a while. The importance of one. 2014, I needed a church. I've now left, by God, left the Pentecostal church. And I'm wondering, I said, I don't want to be traveling by car anymore. I've been driving too far. I want a church locally. I called her, the one, and I said, the church you go to, what time does your service start? Because she's now involved as a youth. She's now very involved in that church. I said, what time does your service start? She goes, la, 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 la. I said, okay, thank you. I'll be there tomorrow. This is this church, St. Clement's, that I was sent from. The importance of one. I never knew that by meeting that girl, she started this discernment process. She now lives in Kent. She started this discernment process to become a priest. The importance of one. God places so much value on one person. Let's go back to the eunuch. Can you imagine how special that eunuch must have felt that day? He was seen. He was considered so important that God would tell Philip, leave that thriving ministry that's doing so well and go to the desert road because there is somebody there I want you to meet. How special that man must have felt that God would stop everything just for him. That God would send somebody into the desert where he was at because God values one. What can we learn from this? Fruitfulness in evangelism, whether to a crowd or one, comes from the starting place of abiding in Jesus, as John says. Being in Jesus and being obedient to his leading in our lives. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we cannot preach Christ. We cannot be successful in anything without the abiding presence of Jesus in us. What can we learn from this passage in Acts? That you know yourself as one that is loved, valued, and important. You know yourself. And now when I was preparing for this, I said, God, I'm going to go Pentecostal. I'm going to say to the person beside you, you are loved, valued, and important. And so when Nadia this morning was like, let's pray and everything. I was like, I'm going to come Pentecostal this morning. So I'm going to say to you, say to the person beside you, you are loved, valued, and important. Say to them, the person beside you, you are loved, valued, and important. Because of the one. Philip was effective and as an evangelist because he knew how to flow in what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. He was led by the Spirit, not by his own whims and feelings. I have had so many occasions where I have carried myself to witness to people that God did not send me. And it was flat. It was flat, empty. And I'd be like, God, you didn't send me. I sent myself. Therefore, there was disaster. So I've learned, like, okay, Lord, when you say go, I'll go. And I still haven't got it 100% yet. It is God who opens the doors for evangelism. God directed Philip to a desert place because God had already arranged for an open door in the life of that eunuch because God has seen that eunuch. We should pray and ask God to open doors for us that we can proclaim the good news of Jesus and also be alert to the opportunities that God presents because of the importance of one. I know of somebody here at Midgate who prays for God to guide them to people to meet so that they can share God's love. We may be guided to leave a busy area and walk along the deserted path of our roads, of our community. And we may wonder why. It may be that God has one that's important to him that's walking on that route. It may be that the Lord will say, why don't you take the bus today rather than going by your car? Because there is one that may be important to him that you will sit beside that needs to hear the good news and the love of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is the working of the Holy Spirit as he leads us to people because he knows the heart of those who are seeking him and that we should be available to go. We should never, ever underestimate the conversations that we have with people about Jesus, be it through our lunchtime prayer walk, be it through those that we meet in the cafe, be it through the encounters you have at work, at school, at college, wherever it is that you're going, don't underestimate those conversations that you have. Because as Tim said in our training on evangelism for those who attended, it is about moving people from one level of the clock, the dial, to the next level. It is not for us to try and get people to be saved. We may just be moved them from 2 to 3. Somebody else comes and moves them from 4 to 5. And then somebody else at the last hour will move them from 11 to 12. Your part in that dial is okay. Don't think I have to be the one to say the prayer of salvation. It is fine. You don't have to be that one. But we should be that one to share Jesus loves you. Let me tell you about him because they will ask, I don't understand. Can you explain it to me? God is at work in the hearts of people because God finds each person as important, the importance of one soul. We can each be that important one to an important one. Philip was an ordinary man who followed Jesus. He expressed his doubt, and yet because of his love for Jesus and his obedience to the Holy Spirit, was used to the witness of a crowd and the witness of one. One was not better than the other. All was important because God sees us as one who is worthy of the cross and the life that Jesus shed. So my message as I close now, my prayer is that each one of us, every one of us, know yourself as important to God. Know yourself as valuable to Him. Know yourself as loved by Jesus Christ. No matter whether there are 1,000 people in this room or in the world walking about, be assured that God sees you the same way He saw that eunuch that Philip did not know about, but God knew. Amen.